Assalamu alaikum students. Welcome to another lecture in financial management. Aapko Virtual University of Pakistan, Ministry of Science and Technology aur Mubashir Humayun ki taraf se khush aamdeed. In the last lecture, we started speaking about bonds and I introduced you to the bond as a type of a direct security and we spoke about some of the characteristics and features common to most bonds. We spoke about the distinction and the difference between equity or shares and bonds. And we also went over some of the legal differences between the two securities. And we spoke about the different kinds of bonds that you find in the market and how bonds are rated and ranked according to a classification system based on the lettering A, B and C. Today we're going to talk about bond valuation and bond pricing. Aaj ka lecture jo hai wo bond valuation se mutalliq hai aur hum jo purani humne فارمولاز اور ٹولز کیپٹل بجٹنگ میں سیکھے تھے انہی کو بانڈ ویلیویشن کے لیے استعمال کریں گے. اس لیے میں نے آپ سے عرض کیا تھا کہ جو ہم نے نیٹ پرزنٹ ویلیو کا فارمولا اسٹڈی کیا تھا اس پہ آپ مکمل انڈرسٹینڈنگ اور کنٹرول حاصل کریں کیونکہ وہ اس کورس کا بہت ہی اہم فارمولا ہے. نیٹ پرزنٹ ویلیو کا فارمولا پرائسنگ کے لیے ہم بانڈس اور سٹاکس دونوں میں استعمال کریں گے. بفور آئی گو انٹو بانڈ ویلیویشن لیٹ می ریمائنڈ یو آف دا بیسک پرنسپل بہائنڈ ویلیویشن آف ڈائریکٹ کلیم سیکورٹیز. بیسک پرنسپل از دیٹ دا بانڈ وچ از اے ڈائریکٹ کلیم سیکورٹی has a certain value to the investor. Bond ki value investor ke liye coupon payments aur receipts ki surat mein milti hai. Ek coupon interest rate mukarrar ho jati hai jo bond pe likhi bhi hoti hai aur bond holder jo hai wo coupon payment regularly bond issuer se hasil karta hai. How do we calculate this coupon receipt? We will just shortly do a numerical example to clarify the calculation. But before that, let me remind you that the value of the bond, which is a piece of paper, derives from the cash flows associated with the coupon receipts, as well as the final cash flow at maturity, from the par value of the bond. And this value of the bond, which is a piece of paper, derives from the value of the underlying asset. Iske maane ye hue ke jo aamdani aap bond se hasil kar rahe hain uski shuruaat jo hai wo real assets se hoti hai. جس کسی بھی کمپنی نے بانڈ ایشو کیا ہے اس کی جو ریئل ایسٹس سے کیش فلوز ہیں اسی سے کوپون پیمنٹس اور پے آؤٹس جو ہیں وہ ہوں گے. سو دی ڈائریکٹ کلیم سیکورٹی سچ ایز بانڈس ہیو اے ویلو دیٹ از اٹیچ ٹو دی انڈر لائنگ ریئل ایسٹ. ناؤ we will calculate bond value using the net present value or the present value formula that we studied in capital budgeting, and that will give us the fair value or intrinsic value. Please review those definitions that I went over before. We will calculate the fair value of the bond, and then we can compare that fair value to what the market price of that bond is. And then we can ask ourselves whether there is a difference between the fair value that we calculate using the present value formula and the market price of the bond. So now, let's go over the present value formula for the bond in detail. Let me just mention beforehand that the relationship between net present value and present value is very straightforward. The net present value is simply equal to minus the initial investment plus the present value. So whenever we talk about present value, it is simply equal to the net present value plus the initial investment. And when we are talking about calculating the price of direct claim securities like bonds and stocks, then we are talking about calculating their present value. The present value will basically give us what the fair value or intrinsic value of that security should be. And it is a starting point for comparing it to what its actual price is in the market. So, what is the present value formula for the bond? It is equal to the sum of the discounted value of the future cash flows in the form of coupon receipts plus the discounted value of the future par value at the date of maturity. Let me go over the formula in detail. PV, which is equal to the fair value of the bond, is equal to the cash flows in year one in the form of coupon receipt divided by 1 plus RD plus the cash flows in the second year, again in the form of coupon receipt divided by 1 plus RD raised to the power 2 plus cash flow in year 3 divided by 1 plus RD raised to the power 3 plus so on until the date of maturity, at which point there will be two cash flows. One will be the cash receipt from the coupon receipts, and the second cash flow will be the cash inflow from the par value, which you will receive when you surrender the bond back to the bond issuer, and in exchange you will get cash worth the par value. So, kuch choti cheezein jo hain, wo bahut bada marhala ban jati hain. لہذا میں چاہ رہا ہوں کہ یہ فارمولا آپ کو بالکل اچھی طرح سمجھ آ جائے. اس کی سب سے پہلے تو میں ٹرمز آپ کے لیے ڈیفائن کرتا ہوں. دی پریزنٹ ویلیو ان دا بانڈ اکویشن ریفرز ٹو دی فیئر اور انٹرنزک ویلیو آف دا بانڈ دیٹ وی آر ایسٹیمیٹنگ. دس از این ایسٹیمیٹڈ پرائس آف دا بانڈ. دی کیش فلوز اور سی ایف ان دی اکویشن ریفرز ٹو دی کوپون ریسیٹس. This is income for the bondholder or investor. This is what he is receiving from the company that has issued the bond. This is the interest or markup that he is receiving in return for lending the money to the bond issuer. How do we calculate the CF or cash flow for the bond? Well, the coupon receipt is equal to the coupon interest rate multiplied by the par value of the bond. I spoke earlier about the par value, that is the value that is printed on the bond, commonly 1000 rupees in the case of Pakistan. So if the coupon rate is 15% per annum and the face value or par value of the bond is 1000 rupees, then quite simply the coupon receipt value is equal to 15% of 1000, which is equal to 150 rupees. Then the cash flows or coupon receipts are added for each and every year until the maturity of the bond. And they are discounted to the present. That is a principle that we have been talking about all along, that we must combine and add values at one point in time. And we have picked the present as that point at which to add and subtract values. So you will discount each one of the coupon receipts from every year in the future back to the present, to the present value. In the final year, which is known as the date of maturity of the bond, you have two kinds of cash flows. One of them will be the coupon receipt, and the second one will be the par value. That is the principal that you will be paid back. This is the amount that you had lent to the bond issuer, and now you will be paid back that amount. So that final term in the equation is the par value divided by 1 plus RD raised to the power n. Now what is this n referring to? N is the life of the bond, number of years or duration of the bond. As I mentioned, the life can be anywhere between 6 months to 10, 15, 20 or 30 years, and that is specified. What is the R sub D term that I have been talking about in this equation? This is very important to understand, because we have already been talking about different kinds of interest rates and rate of returns, and in the remainder of this course we will continue to talk about more kinds of interest rates. So you must be very clear on what kind of interest rate we're talking about. R sub D refers to the required rate of return for the bondholder who is investing in bonds. This is what the bondholder expects to earn, and you have two choices here. If you as an investor are being conservative, you can pick the minimal required rate of return. And I mentioned earlier in this course that the minimum return that an investor expects is the amount of markup that he can get in a simple bank deposit. Why would an investor take a risk on another investment which is offering a lower rate of return when he can simply get at least 9 or 10% per year from a PLS account in a bank? So that is the minimal required rate of return. And here when we're talking about R sub D, we are referring to what the bondholder expects, what kind of a return he is expecting based on the fact that this bond might be more risky than a simple deposit in a bank, which is virtually risk-free. There's a very, very minimal risk attached to it. So that is what R sub D refers to. Later on, I will explain how the required rate of return on the bond is connected to the market interest rate. And we've spoken already about the market interest rate very early on in this course. We mentioned that the market interest rate, which is the macroeconomic interest rate that is prevailing in the economy, is based on various factors, including inflation and sovereignty risk, liquidity risk, maturity risk, and so on. So please keep clear on this definition of R sub D. Now, I mentioned that the present value formula can be applied to calculate the value of a bond, and that value will be the fair value. This fair value is a value that we have calculated using mathematics, and it is the value that we expect the bond to be. We have to compare this value that we have calculated with the actual price of the bond in the market. The actual price of the bond, or the market price of the bond, varies depending on the supply and demand of the bond in the market, and it will vary depending on the market rate of interest. And depending on whether our calculated value is less than or more than the market price, we can decide whether this is a good investment or not a good one. The market rate of interest prevailing in the economy affects the price of the bond. Why? Because, as I mentioned, the market rate of interest will have an impact on R sub D, which is the required rate of return that investors expect from their investment in bonds. And the relationship is that when the market rate of interest or the macroeconomic interest rate in the economy increases, bond prices will decrease. And this is a very simple relationship. If you look at the present value formula, you can see that R sub D, which will rise and fall with the general level of the interest rate, is in the denominator of the equation. So when interest rates in the denominator go up, the present value will go down. And the present value is the price of the bond. So there is an inverse relationship. As the market interest rates go up, bond prices come down. When the market interest rate drops below the coupon interest rate, then what happens? Keep in mind that the coupon interest rate has been specified and fixed by the bond issuer. They have to pay the coupon rate of interest to the bondholders. But the market interest rate fluctuates daily, hour to hour, depending on various factors. So when the market rate of interest is less than the coupon rate, then what happens to the market price? The market price of the bond will be higher than the par value of the bond. Why? Well, quite simply, when the market is offering a lower rate of return than the bond, in other words, when the market's interest rate is lower than the coupon rate offered by the bond, then the bond becomes valuable, and it becomes more valuable than its stated value, which is printed on the bond. That is the simple logic for why, when the market interest rates are lower than the coupon interest rate offered by the bond, that the market price of the bond will rise above the par value that is stated on the bond. So this is another simple relationship that you should keep in mind. Keep in mind also that the bond has a limited life. Unlike stocks and shares, whose life is as long as the life of the company, the life of a bond is limited. And as the life of a bond expires, in other words, as the bond approaches its maturity date, the market price of the bond will approach the par value of the bond. In other words, although the market price of the bond will rise and fall and fluctuate depending on the interest rates in the economy, this fluctuation over a period of time will approach the par value of the bond as the bond reaches its maturity date. So at the date of maturity, the market price of the bond will match the par value of the bond. And this is also an outcome of the continuity theorem in mathematics. When we calculate the price of the bond as a continuum over time, then we have to ensure that there is no jump that takes place when the bond reaches its maturity date. So one of the other relationships to keep in mind is that the interest rate risk is higher for long-term bonds than it is for short-term bonds. What do I mean by long-term bonds? Basically, we are talking about bonds whose life is 10 years or more. And by short-term bonds, we are talking about bonds whose life or maturity is 1 year or less. The period between 1 year and 10 years is a gray area, and arbitrarily some people choose to consider 3 years or more as long term. But the main point that I'm trying to make is that the interest rate risk is higher for long-term bonds. And what I mean by this is that when you buy, or when a bondholder buys a long-term bond, then he is locked into an investment for a long duration of time. And there is more uncertainty because there is a greater likelihood. There are more chances that the interest rate will fluctuate and that the inflation rate will also fluctuate. The two, of course, are connected, inflation rate and interest rate. And so it becomes more unpredictable what the price of this bond is going to be in between and what the impact of changes in inflation and interest rate will be on the company and on the health of the company that has issued the bond. So there is a greater risk and there is a greatest interest rate risk associated with long-term bonds because of the uncertainty of not knowing what the impact of interest rate and inflation will be on the ability of the company to service this bond or to pay its coupons. This is one point. The second point is that the price of a long-term bond fluctuates more than the price of a short-term bond. And this is because you have a long-term bond which has a fixed coupon interest rate, and that interest rate is fixed. But in the case of the long-term bond, the market interest rate is fluctuating in between, and so it gives rise to more uncertainty in the long-term bonds because their coupon rate is fixed for a longer duration in time. And in between this time, the market rate is fluctuating, and this has an uncertain effect on what the price of the long-term bond should be. So let me talk about the two impacts that the changes in the market rate of interest have on a bond. One of them is the interest rate risk, and the second one is the reinvestment risk. What do we mean by interest rate risk? Well, quite simply, as I mentioned, when the market rate of interest goes up, then bond prices will come down. Similarly, when the market rate of interest comes down, then the bond prices will go up. So there is an inverse relationship between the market rate of interest and bond prices. So interest rate risk again is that the market interest rates and bond prices are inversely related. When market interest rates go up, bond prices come down. Now, what is reinvestment risk? Reinvestment risk is that when the market interest rates go up, the overall yield or return on the bond portfolio will also go up. Why is that? Because when interest rates rise, then the opportunity cost for the bondholder has changed. For example, somebody may have bought a short-term bond. That short-term bond might be a one-year bond with a one-year maturity. That bond might be offering 15% per annum coupon rate. But after the 1 year is complete and the bond matures, then there is a risk that the bondholder may not be able to find another investment that can yield as much as 15% per annum coupon rate. So that is the reinvestment risk, that once the bond matures, then what? Where will the bondholder invest his money in order to get as high a rate of return? Maybe if the interest rates have dropped, the coupon rates will also drop, and the bond holder may not be able to get as good a coupon rate as he had in the previous bond that he was holding. That is the reinvestment rate risk or uncertainty. Now, you will note that in the case of short-term bonds, their reinvestment risk is higher, but their interest rate risk is lower. Their interest rate risk is lower for short-term bonds because for short-term bonds, their prices don't fluctuate as much as for long-term bonds because there is greater price uncertainty associated with long-term bonds. But when you talk about reinvestment risk, it is higher for short-term bonds. Why? Because when the bond matures in a short period of time, like 1 year, you're not sure if you can reinvest your money at a rate of return or at a coupon rate that is as high as what you just had in the previous bond. So these are the two kinds of risks that are associated with changes in the market interest rate and its impact on bonds. And there is a trade-off between the two kinds of risks. When the market rates rise, you are adding one kind of risk and you are reducing the other kind of risk. So, in other words, generally speaking, when interest rate risk rises, the reinvestment risk falls. So there is a trade-off between these two kinds of risks. تو آئیے اب جو ہم نے بانڈ ویلیویشن فارمولا اور تھیوری کے بارے میں بات کی ہے اس کو ایک عملاً نیومیریکل ایگزامپل کے ذریعے بہتر سمجھنے کی کوشش کرتے ہیں. دی ایگزامپل دیٹ آئی اسٹارٹڈ آف ود ارلیئر ان دا کورس واز دیٹ آف دی کینٹین اور کیفیٹیریا. دی وی ول کنٹینیو دیٹ example, and let us assume that you are 100,000 rupees short in cash and you need to borrow this money from a bank. So in order to start your cafeteria, you have decided that you want to borrow 100,000 rupees from a bank. In exchange for receiving this money, you will issue a bond to the bank. And that bond will be worth 100,000 rupees. If we say that the face value of the bond, each bond paper is 1,000 rupees, then you will be issuing 100 bond papers of par value 1,000 rupees to the bank. These bond papers will contain the par value, which is 1,000 rupees. They will contain the coupon interest rate, which you promise to pay in the form of markup to the bank. Let us assume that that is 15% per annum and that you will be paying the coupons at the end of every year. In other words, let us assume that you will be making the coupon payments annually. Iske alawa, let us assume that the maturity of this bond is 2 years. In other words, you need to borrow these funds for a period of 2 years only. You will pay the interest in the form of coupon to the bank for a period of 2 years, after which you will return the principal amount of 100,000 rupees back to them, and that is what we call returning the par value to the bondholder. So, we have specified that the duration of the bond is 2 years and therefore n is equal to 2 in our equation. We have specified that the coupon interest rate is 15% per annum. So, we can calculate what the annual coupon receipts will be every year for 2 years. 15% of 100,000 rupees, which is the total amount of debt or the total value of all the bonds that you have issued, 15% of 100,000 rupees is 15,000 rupees per annum. So you will be paying to the bank 15,000 rupees at the end of every year for 2 years in the form of markup. And this will be the coupon payment that you are making to the bank. And at the end of these 2 years then, you will repay the 100,000 rupees back to the bank. Now, let's take a look at the present value formula. In the present value formula, we have identified the maturity, which is 2 years. We have identified the cash flow, which is 15,000 rupees per year for 2 years. We have identified the par value, the par value of all of the bonds that have been issued in total is 100,000 rupees, and this will be repaid after 2 years. So what is left is the R sub D, or the required return on the bond. And whose required return is this? This required return is the required return for the bondholder or investor. In our case, the bondholder is the bank. The bank is the institution which is investing in your cafeteria. So we are concerned here with the required return for the bank. And let us assume that the required return for the bank in this particular example is simply 10%. Why? Because 10% is the minimal required return that a bank expects to receive on any investment, because it can make at least that much in a risk-free investment such as a treasury bill or T-bill. In other words, whenever a bank lends money, then it has to make sure that it can earn at least 10% per annum, because otherwise it's very simple for it to invest the money in a T-bill and earn that same amount. So when it is taking a risk of investing in a small business like a cafeteria, then it expects to earn at least 10% per annum. Now we can input these different quantities into our present value formula. So what does our equation become? Present value of this bond. And here, when we're talking about the bond, we're actually talking about a loan, and we are approximating or modeling this loan in the form of a bond. So the present value of this bond is equal to the sum of the cash flows discounted to the present plus the par value after year 2 discounted to the present. This is equal to 15,000 divided by 1.1 plus 15,000 divided by 1.1 squared plus 100,000 divided by 1.1 squared. Why 1.1? Because in the denominator we have 1 plus RD. RD is 10%, so 1 plus RD is equal to 1.1. So the final answer that we get for the present value is equal to 108,678 rupees. That is the present value of this bond for whom? For the bank. Why? Because the bank is the bondholder and the bank is the investor. So this deal, this financial deal, this bond is worth 108,678 rupees to the bank. And the bank is receiving this amount of value for entering into this financial deal in which they lend 100,000 rupees to you today. So it seems that this is a good deal. Why? Because the present value is worth more than the present investment that the bank is making in the cafeteria. The present value of this bond is 108,678, whereas the present investment is only 100,000. So the present value is higher than the initial investment. In other words, the net present value is positive. So the bank will gain value by entering into this investment. So bond theory and bond valuation is a complicated area. I don't expect you to understand it in great detail because this is an introductory course to financial management. But please go over chapter 7 in Brigham and Gapensky, which goes over some of the basics of bond and bond valuation. I would now like to review some of the areas that we have touched upon in this lecture. We began talking about bond valuation, and we mentioned that a bond is a direct claim security whose value is based on the cash inflows related to a bond. Those cash inflows are the coupon receipts as well as the recovery of the par value of the bond at the time of maturity. We also mentioned that the value of the bond is linked to an underlying real asset, which basically represents the real physical assets of the company that has issued the bond. Real physical assets would mean plant, machinery, inventory, etc. We also mentioned that you have to keep clear in your mind the difference between the par value of a bond, which is the value that is stated on the piece of paper and for which it is initially issued or sold. You have to keep that separate from the market value of the bond, which is the price at which it is traded at any day. This price is based, the market price is based on the supply and demand of the bond in the open market, and that varies depending on the strength and weakness, the financial position of the company, and how it changes from day to day or month to month. These prices are different. The par value is fixed. The market price changes from day to day. And this market price is different from the fair value of the bond. The fair value or the intrinsic value is what we calculate. That is the theoretical price that we calculate based on the present value equation. Before I move on to the recap of the present value equation, we went over some basic theoretical concepts attached to bond prices. The first one that we mentioned is that bond prices are inversely related to interest rates. As market interest rates go up, bond prices come down. The other thing that we mentioned was that the interest rate risk is greater for long-term bonds. Bonds that have a maturity exceeding 10 years have a larger interest rate risk associated with them because the coupon rate for these bonds is fixed for a very long period of time, and there is great uncertainty during this long period of time as to what the market interest rate and inflation and the health of the company will be like. We mentioned that the market interest rates have two basic kind of impacts on any bond. One of them is known as the interest rate risk, and the other one is known as the reinvestment risk. The reinvestment risk is basically the risk that you will not be able to reinvest your money at a coupon rate which is as good as the one in the bond that you had just invested in. So there is a risk, for example, when you invest in a short-term bond, a bond that is maybe 1 year long, there is a risk that you may not be able to invest your money at the end of 1 year in another bond that will offer you a coupon rate which is as good. The bond theory is a very, very detailed and complicated area, and we will stick to whatever we have mentioned thus far regarding the bond prices. Also, please keep in mind that the coupon rate is fixed at the time of issuance of the bond, whereas the market interest rate fluctuates depending on the conditions in the macro economy. And we talked about those conditions earlier on in the course. I would like to thank you for your kind attention and patience. آپ کو مبشر ہمایوں ورچوئل یونیورسٹی اور منسٹری آف پاکستان کی طرف سے بہت بہت شکریہ. Thank you for your kind attention and patience. خدا حافظ and السلام علیکم.